like to introduce now our guest speaker. He's known as Shangul Luciferus, official chef of Shmita Diva Hanlai with the retailer. I think Rabbi Schwartz kind of encompassed everything. Didn't leave much that I want to take away from the power of his beautiful words. Now that he did mention the Super Bowl, I had this Shabbos guest who was trying to tell me, he has this whole thing that he watches the Super Bowl or football throughout the entire season because of the many Muslim haskels, he says, that he gives me. So he could. Now, one of the Muslim hassles that he was explaining to me, I want to tell you that I did not watch the Super Bowl. Actually, during the Super Bowl, I was in a yeshiva that ran a program during the entire time of the Super Bowl. And we had all the kids come over. That was a very long story. But this is what he was asking. So it could be, I think that I'm a total unawareness of football, and if I get some of the facts mixed up, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think my message will come across. So he was masking me that the winning team was winning by only a few points and the clock was ticking away. And somebody had the ball and he's running for the end zone. Look, I have the ball, you're running for the end zone. But his teammates yelled, "Stop, stop! Don't run it for the touchdown!" Why would he not run it for the touchdown? So he was masking me, I hope I get this right. He was mad to me that right at this point when you're winning, you want to run down the clock. That's what you want to do. So if he would fall down, it would be another play, another play, another play, the clock would run out, and this team won. And if he runs in to the end zone, so he gets the touchdown, and now the ball goes to the other team. And they may pull off in a couple of seconds left to be able to hail somebody I don't want to mention at this medrash, and they can make it, you know, maybe throw a winning touchdown. So, he's standing there, and he's about to run into the end zone, and his teammates say, "No, no, fall to the ground, stop, don't run into the end zone." He doesn't listen, he runs into the end zone. So he showed me, and that's good. Take out the New York Times article about my shop, and nobody took it out. But in the interest of not embarrassing him, they let him read it. So it was nice with the whole psychology, why he didn't stop, why he ran into the answer. And whoever the writer was, whatever that subject was, he wrote like this. He wanted to bring out the hero Shabbat, like you heard before. He's trained his whole life to run for his team, to run into the end zone with the Mesiras Nefesh. And if you're trained your whole life from the Mesiras Nefesh, you can't do it. You can't stop. You have to keep going. So said the big tzaddik that wrote the article about the big tzaddik that ran into the end. So I told him, I hate to disappoint you, but now that you brought up this whole nice, I will tell you my unprofessional spin on it. Okay? That, if anything, you see just the opposite. He was trained his whole life that he's willing to gain 400 pounds and spend 6 hours a day lifting weights. So he as a yachid, he as a hero, should be an individual and score as many touchdowns as possible. And when he was running with that ball, and his chaveren, so to speak, told him, "Stop, throw yourself to the ground," he heard them. He knew what they were saying. If he throws himself to the ground and the clock runs out, it's better for the team. But that's not what he was trained for his whole life. He wasn't trained to be Moisa Nefesh himself for his chaver. He was trained, "I score the touchdown." So at the expense of losing the whole game, he has to keep going. Because he makes the chesed with them in the record books, 10 years from now, it's going to say he scored the winning touchdown. It's not going to tell you he threw himself to the ground with a chesed to be Moisa Nefesh himself or others. And I think that ties us up what Rabbi Schwartz so eloquently said. The real hero in life is not the one who runs to score the touchdown. The real hero in life is the one who looks around and his chaveren says, "In the interest of the cloud, it is better that I throw myself to the floor right now." I want to spend a few minutes on this. It also is such a nice thing. There was a yidol that tried to tried to marry off his daughter so that she can't get, he needed 500 rubles. That's the bottom line. Decided to write a letter to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He wrote, Yom Hashem, he's addressed to Shnei HaShemayim. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he gave me a daughter, he wanted to marry off. I need 500 rubles. So the postman took the letter, didn't know where it was, he would throw it in the sky. So he decided, in the interest of figuring out where to mail it, the means obviously is an interesting character, so he opened it up and read it. Of course, the minute you watch anyway, for postman to know. And he said over there that he needs 500 rubles to marry his daughter, so he decided he's going to send it to Rochelle. So in Rochelle's mail, he sees a letter addressed to God, and he opens it up. And he laughs, says, thinks I'm gone. So he says to one of his attendants, you know what? Send him 400 rubles. 2 years down the line, he has to marry with another daughter. Why not try it again? So he writes another letter to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And again, the mailman gives it to Rothschild. Rothschild laughs again. He says, send him 400 rubles. The third daughter, again, writes the letter. But this time, at the end of the letter to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he puts in P.S. Don't send me the money through Rothschild, because he skims off 100 for himself. Trick in life, my friends, is that when you're getting the money from Rothschild, you're getting the money from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I called the bank, whatever, credit card, whatever. So they said, you have to set up a security code, like a security question. Okay, the mother's maiden name. No, they know that already, the hackers, they need another security question. Ask me a security question. So they said, what was the name of your first pet? I said, maybe you have another question. It's Prague, I can't tell you. Okay, they said, the name of your high school friend. Actually, there was another word before friend, which I will also skip. I said, maybe you have another question. They said, okay, tell us the name of your favorite restaurant. I hate to say this, but do you have another question? We're running out of questions, sir. Can't help it, you're asking me the whole questions. He says, the name of your first model car. Oh, yeah. Go explain to them in Kyle, I had this car that was like put together from junkyards. It was a half a Buick, half a Chevy. It was going to be Suffolk Kaya, Suffolk Bay. I'm a Kyle. He said, Suffolk, you know. Buick Chevy, question mark. He said, you're going to have to ask me another question. So they said, we only have one more question left. And they said, what was the name of your first house that you lived in? The address of your first house that you lived in. I said, that question I can answer. Oh, really? See, because everyone has a first house where they live in. Medrash says, the Derech Hashem says, that there are three halakim to Olam Haba. That's why we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The first halakim of Olam Haba is when Neshamas are created, and all of the Neshamas were created, says the Medrash, by Sheshes and Leberashes. Well, no, it's not that a bunch of doesn't keep creating neshamas. That's all. There's only a certain amount of neshamas down here in this world. You were created by Sheshes and Bereshis, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and the moon and the stars and nature and the world. You were created for a purpose. And just like every element of Maaseh Bereshis is needed for Maaseh Bereshis to exist, then you as an individual, if you were created by the Borei Olam, then you are. You're in the Shama. If you're in the Shama to come to its tikkun is a necessity of Maaseh Bereishis. So the Shamas are put into like a beautiful Olam Haba, which is kind of a waiting room. And then says the Medrash, along comes a Malach and says, you, me? What? You're going to be born there. And the Shama says, I'm going to be born? No, I don't want to be born. Malkar you have to. And the Shama is so terrified of being born. And the Medrash says, as terrified as people are of death, greater is the neshama terrified of being born. So in order to appease the neshama, the malach goes and gives the neshama a tour. The malach takes the neshama down and shows you where you're going to be born. And the malach shows you the first house you're going to live in. The malach shows you whom, when, where, if you're going to get married. As a matter of fact, the Kedushas Levi says, the Lakutim, he says, why do women cry by weddings? Well, men, we know why they cry. They get the bill from the caterer. Why do women cry? So he says that women are much more sensitive to the sublime. The Baral says, Amunah is lashon keva. when the neshama is brought down here, and the neshama is shown, you see those two kids on Yom Chuppah? Here, that boy that's worried about his cufflinks, and the girl that's like crying, looking over there, she's holding the bouquet of flowers, right? They're going to be your parents, they're going to raise you. And the neshama goes, then? And the neshama really begins to cry, like, really, do I have to go through this? Do I have to come down? They say, yes. And the women were much more sensitive to what goes on. The penis, apokishiyulachazimazlayachazim. They begin to cry as well. And you go through your whole life this way. With the exceptions, of course, of the things that are within the context of Kshira, of free choice. Ad zibul of master, until the last shovel of earth. And the Maal says, this is your mission. You understand? There's no one else in the world that can do this. Only you. The Bein Lechai brings out in the Pashas Yishayfu, what he says, they don't remember, that the Neshama actually signs off on what he saw. And after 120 years, we come up to Shemayim. And we say, Rabbi Shalom, how did you do it to me? How did you put me through all this? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Shefula, my dear child, Rabbi Shalom shows us the paper and says, I showed you. You signed off on it. It's there. It's yours. So we don't really know why we're down here in this world. The Aruch Hashem says, the real one, the Shama comes down the Gilgal, there's sometimes when the Shama can come into a diamond, it's a Meach, a Chai, a Medaber, but when you come to the Medaber, obviously, you don't know who you are. Because if we knew why we were down here, our Pira would be shocked. We would obviously do it. There's a Machoik, it's a Medimara, with a Noach Lego Adam Shenivra, where it's best for a person to be created, or Noach Lego Adam Shenivra. And we pass in Noach Lego Adam Shenivra. Now that's not very encouraging. We would have been better off not being created. One person once said to someone else, you should have been around the times where we were created. He said, why? Because then you wouldn't be here now. He said, what does that mean? What kind of encouragement is this? Noach Lego Adam Shenivra Nivra. Zok de Gra. It doesn't refer, it's the Grand Yonah. It doesn't refer to the first, the initial creation of the Neshama, when Mashiach, when by Bria Sa'ilah. Of course it was Noach Lego Shenivra. If not, why would Hashem create you? But it means, says the Gra, we come up after the first time, because Rafa says, I gave you a tour of your life. I showed you the people in your life you're supposed to interrelate with and connect with. What did you do? You were not worried about your own covenant. You put this to angry. He did this to you. She did this to you. What did you do? What you were supposed to do? You were bad. You're taking your unbelievable life. I'm out of the only hand. So the Moshe says, send him down again. Give him another chance. And the Malacha tell you, why are you giving him another chance? He's likely to blow it. He's likely to misread life again. The Moshe says, talk to my kid. Let him down again. On that second time, the Gra says, Noach Lego Adam Shelo Nivra. Most of us don't get it, but the Rebbeinu wants us to be. We know that there's a skula, same story from the Baal Shem Tov, in Tzoy Shabbos, skula for Parnas. So this man is riding to the Baal Shem Tov, he wants to be there in Yom Kippur, he's riding, month after month after month, it's his dream to be by his Rebbe in Kippur. It's Erev Yom Kippur, he reaches in a terrible storm, a little garth, and they come out to say, great, we need someone to be Rosh in the Minyan for Yom Kippur, come on in. We cleaned out the barn. We'll even give you the yamid. He goes, hey guys, I hate to leave you alone here, but I didn't travel 6 months away from my family to daven with you in some barn. I'm off. And he comes to Baal Shem Tov won't even look at him. Will not even look at him. And Matzah Yom Kippur, he falls to the feet of Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, Mapishi, Machatasi, what did I do? The Rebbe says, but those people asked you to daven with them. He said, yeah, but I didn't come here to daven with them. The Rebbe said, your tachlis in this world was to daven with those people in Kippur. That was your mission down here. He said, Rebbe, may I ask you a question? You have Ruach HaKodesh. You knew that. How was I supposed to know that? And the Baal Shem Tov said, you were supposed to know that because you were there and they asked you to daven with them. That meant that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do it. That means that we have our plans in life, and when situations arise where we see that those around us need us, the Vanisham wants us to do this. And to believe that this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the tafkid. That's why we're down here. So this man comes to the Baal Shem Tov, and he says, listen, I don't need any brachas. I just came to take a look to see what's going on over here. You don't need any brachas? No, pranasa? I got plenty of pranasa. I don't need your help. Shalom Bais? We won't get into that. What is it? The children playing, the children. So the Shetha says, let me tell you a story. Fine, but make it fast. He says they would recruit bosom pals, Ruvang and Shimon. And they grew up, had a tough life growing up, but they made up when they get married, they're going to be friends forever. Ruvang and Shimon both get married, both are successful. One day Shimon loses all of his money, he comes to Ruvang, he says, Ruvang, help. Ruvang says, I remember the pact, the bris we made as children, takes half of his assets, gives it away to Shimon. The Gemara says money is called Zuz. Why? She Zuz Mized leaves one person, goes to the other. It's a Galgal Hachalizir V'Oyon. So now Ruvang loses his money and comes to Shimon. Shimon says, I have hours once a week where I see people for money. You missed it. No, no, you don't understand. But I'm Ruvang. I'm the one that gave away half of my money. You have no right to do that. I'm the Vaz Ali Vaz Yasin Chamish. I don't speak to people that don't listen to Halacha. Goodbye. And as the years went on, Ruvang worked himself back up. And Shimon lost his money. And he came back to Ruvang and said, Ruvang, I'm so embarrassed. You treated me like a chaver. I treated you like a woman. Say what I treated you. Please be mindful of me. And Ruvang is so overtaken that Shimon's cries. And once again, he gives him half of his assets. And to make a long story short, it's not pirche. So this happened a couple of times. And each time, Ruvang gives everything away, and Shimon has another excuse. So Shimon comes crying. And finally, Ruvang dies, an impoverished person. He comes up to Shemayim. Shimon thought he was going to live forever, but he was hit by a bus or something. And Shimon is now up there, and they're ready to throw the book at Shimon because a lack of a Hakara Satayim is very unappreciated in Shemayim. And Ruvang says, you know what? He's going to go to Gehenna. Please, I'm asking to come down to this world again. I'm asking to come down to this world again. I'll be a pauper, and maybe I'll have Rahman Asami. You're willing to do that. And Shimon says, hey, Ruvang, you're so good. I'm not here, just saying. No, just do what they have to do. And can you imagine these two people lived in this world, says the Baal Shem Tov, 70 years. And just last night, this pauper came knocking on the rich man's door. The rich man was so upset that he came knocking that he pushed him down the stairs and he died. And when he told the person the pauper died, he just said, well, get his body out of here before I get into trouble. That was his reaction. And the person who came to the Baal Shem Tov fainted. Because it just so happened last night, a poor person came knocking on his door and he pushed him down the stairs. Now, so Baal Shem Tov gave him a ticket and told him to write off half of his assets. So I don't know Baal Shem Tov today. How do I know? What we have to know is that it's a world of hashgacha. It's a world where the Baal Shem Tov looks down and sees every single one of us at every moment. And your wife, your friend, your neighbor, your mother-in-law, your father is by hashgacha. And what I can give to the people around me, whether it's a person on the train or a person at work, is my tafkid in life. V'haraya, those people are around. You come to a chavrusa program at night, and you take the time, either lumay d'olamay lishma v'lasos, and you're mishtaktiv either with your goof or with your money. And it has an effect on someone else. This isn't just a nice thing to do. You are redefining your life. You're saying, "Ani ma'amin be'emunna shalena," that there is a boy in Olam that is ma'ani kol b'yosef. And this is why I'm here. You know, a lot of times you send your kids to learn Eretz Yisrael and think they're learning the whole day, and you hope they're not doing what you did when you were in Eretz Yisrael. I remember one night I went off with my friends to the Kaimus Kedush. Of course, we went to a mook. We went here. None of us had a red cent to our name. Typical Bacharish thing. And it's the middle of the night. We're on a dark, lonely road, and we're sheer out of cash. And I know we have to get back to Yeshiva. So one of the chaverim said they have a messiah in his family. He had a bit. He had a zayt of velvel. When you learn a mishnah for velvel, you get it wrong. We didn't have any other options, so we employed his schooling. We learned the mishnah, and we're looking. And all of a sudden, there's headlights. I'll never forget this. This red pickup truck pulls out. This guy gets out, blazing red hair and a red beard. He looked like the Malach HaMavis himself. And we turned around and started running for our lives. And he yells, "Bucharim, Kintayim, Kintayim, listen to me." Real Polish or Yiddish. And we came back and convinced us it's okay. We got into the back of this pickup truck. And he took us to a certain juncture, a certain somewhere. You know, we got off. We're still far away. So we learned another Mishnah, although now we're a little bit worried. Another Mishnah, I kid you not, and then along came one of these Magnana Nachman trucks with a flat thing, guys with guitars singing, and they said, hop aboard, we hopped aboard, we hung on for our life. Went to the next junction, we went off, we went to another Mishnah, we had like one more pitch to Yerushalayim. And along comes this like van, he had some kind of a laundry truck. And it's full of laundry. Like, there was only room for the driver. He tells us, you want to climb in between the dirty laundry. You know, it's again, we come in and we climbed in like this with socks and things hanging from us. And I still remember, I turned to my friend and said, I'll tell you one thing about your grandfather, Belville. He may listen to Mishnayos, but he has some sense of humor. Okay? Anyway. So I told my sons, I told them, I beg of you, please, please, when you go learn, you know, don't go around, leave the Makom Sagoshin for Ben Zmanim. Anyway, so one of my sons, he's married a long time, I said, tell me the truth. I said, did you listen? He said, almost all the time. So there was one night, a really big, because you heard some bachur were going away, and the principal of Manav, the Shkiach, came in and said, if anyone is caught, leave the Shiva premises, you're not in the Shakras, I'm dying. And the dormitory Mashiach doesn't see you in bed at 11 o'clock, you know, you're out of the issue. Which is the worst thing to say to Bachrin, because, aha, let's even get away with this one. So 11 o'clock after the dormitory Mashiach checked that they were all in bed, and they locked the door from the outside, they climbed out the window, and they figured they could make it to Amuka, and to Miron, and Tzas, and back for Shachris by 7 o'clock in the morning. He said, they made it back, it was found by 10 different cars, and they made it back. He said, what were you installed for by the cable? So we must follow, we should make it back, we should recover. So, what was the purpose? Couldn't you stay in yeshiva? But some people, like they go through their whole life in a circle, right? Get themselves in trouble, and the spiral they shouldn't get in trouble, but listen. And if you take a look, it's Kedai really to learn through the Ian of Shinish Shak and Sefer Shari Yashin and Akdamah. So he's Mazda like this. He says, what is the word Ani mean? I am. A little baby, the word ani, I, is a little circle that's around him. The child, the toddler, knows nothing else of him. Somehow this also goes with this mahalach. Knows nothing else other than me. My battle, I need a diaper, I need company now, I am tired, I am cranky, I have gas, and if I am not satisfied, I scream and I yell and let everyone else worry about it. As you get older, what's supposed to happen is the circle around the ani is supposed to get bigger. It's not just me, it's me and my mother, me and my father, me and my siblings, me and my friends. You get married, the ani means me and my wife, the famous story with the tzaddik of Yerushalayim, and he came and he told his doctor, his wife, is her foot hurt? He said, what's the matter? How are you living? And the doctor said that, you know, her foot hurts. He said, our foot hurts. The ani is me, it's us. There are some people of Shin as Mazda in the course of their lives, they understand Ani in the perspective of all the people that I have Shachas with. It's all me. And there are those that they get older, the Ani gets tighter and tighter every day. It's only me. So the Rabbi Shem says, ah! The Rabbi Shem says, Anoichi Hashem Alekachet. But who is the Rabbi Shem? The Rabbi Shem's Ani takes into account the entire world. And therefore, if you're imagining in Hashgacha, then you understand the ani, me, my tachton on this world is, if I can help a chavrus at night to come and learn. If I reach out, my smile, my words have a shankas to someone else that changes his life, I'm changing my life. Because it's the tachton of my life. The Arizal says a fascinating thing. He says, Yisrael was an neshama of Cain. Bnei Cain, called Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was an neshama of Hell. No, you're not going to hear this in Bris. But the Arizal says that when the writer calls the Rambam Dvar of Divrei Hevel, it doesn't mean like full of Havir. He means it's the Shamas of the Yisod of Hevel, which is not Pi'alach. So says the Arizal. So Moshe Rabbeinu is Hevel, and Yisrael is Cain. Now what were Cain and Hevel, what did they argue about Cain and Hevel? They argued over the Makom HaMikdash as an Edish. My chelek or your chelek? I get the half of the world, I don't want this half, I want the other half, right? That's what people are. One of the other things they argued about was that Cain was born with a twin sister, and Hevel was born with two twin sisters, and two only the same. And Cain was jealous. Sephora says the Arizal was the two only the same, she was the extra twin. Now, because Cain was really jealous of Hevel, so the male of Cain had a different sheep. You're not marked with carbonis. No. Not with a pasper shem. You're marked with flour. You're marked with plants. And at the end, he winds up killing Hevel, Shem Shemayim, because of the sheep, and he just so happens to marry his two only son. The tikkun for Yisrael is, he comes back and he gives Tzipora back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why the pasuk says that he brought Tzipora, Chais Eishas, right? It doesn't say Tzipora Bitoi, but it says Tzipora, the wife of Moshe. And because they argued over where the Makom HaMikdash is, so now he conceded to Moshe, they went to El Makom HaShechina Shel Har Elokim. And because Cain, in his anger, when things didn't work out the way he wanted, said, less din, the less dying, so Yisri brings the parasha of Bayom. Okay, and he goes on and on, the Ber Moshe, the usual Rebbe's Mazbe, the Sariza, the Arishas. The point is, why this lesson daft over here before Kabbalah Sater? Why this week? And the answer is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is reminding us. This week you read the Aseres Adibros. That means that for the next year, the Zohar says that the week that you recreate the Torah, it reschedules you, readjusts you, recalculates your path in this world for the year. It was decided this morning when you heard who you will be standing next to, just like it was decided who you're standing next to in Har Sinai, it was decided over the course of the year who you're standing next to. And when you come at night and sit down with the chavrusa, you are mashlim the bria. Your purpose in this bria. There can be nothing as chosh, be nothing as powerful. I want to be the sayim. You know, today is the this week is the onset of the Kutzke. Kutzke had a label Eger. He was a Talmud of Kiv Eger. He became a Kutzke chassid. They say that the Brisker Rav was once walking with his son and saw this printed. And the son asked him, "How did his ankle become a Kutzke chassid?" So the Brisker Rav said, "Let me explain to him what Kutzke was all about." He sat down for an hour, explained to him what Kutzke was all about. They started walking. His son said, "So maybe I should also become a Kutzke chassid." So let me sit down with you for another hour. He said. So the story goes that Rav Leibel Eger was warned by his father, "We're not to touch." He knew that it was going to be between Kutzke and Chassidim Orish. "We're not to talk to them. I asked you to talk to them." He was still in the synagogue. And there was an Yom Kippur, and he was sitting there, and a bunch of Kutzke and Chassidim came in. And they stood around him, and they said, "You know, it's such a wonderful day. You have Slicha, Mechila. Let's have a kapar. Let's do a kapar with Simcha." They popped out a bottle of Polish as ex and answer. They poured everyone a bottle. He's looking at them. He hears stories of Chassidim, but after the kach, they start making a bracha. Baruch Hashem, family, can't hold himself back. He yells, "Yom Kippur!" They turn to him. They go, "No, just the opposite. That's the Simcha. Simcha Mechila." He goes, "Oh, the Tamer Shnei Yom Tovnit." He goes, "Who wrote the Tamer?" "What? I can't believe this. The Baruch Kalanamim." So one of them says, "Who's the Baruch Kalanamim?" So he hesitated a second, and someone said, "If you come with us to Kast, you won't have to hesitate a second before you answer that question." So the story goes that he came to Kast, and he walked in here like a very Rosh Hashiva Lavosh, a very fancy thing, Rebbeshe. And as he walked in, the Kast, this was his Baruch Haba, they grabbed him, threw him on the table, ripped off his silk thing, his buttons were flying, took away his thing, and they gave him a ripped Rebbeshe. He said, "You want to stay here, this is beautiful." That was his Baruch Haba. And the Kutzke, he asked the Kutzke about what's going on in this place. And he said to him, "We're trying to focus your life. This is what we do. What do I have to do for the world? Not how the world looks at me." He wound up staying with Kutzke. You know, there's a Yid of Chaim Berim. It's Ish Kodesh. And the Einikov has told me the story that he was in Yerushalayim. He was hanging up a bar mitzvah. Somebody was hanging up a bar mitzvah thing. Somebody came by. And he said, "You know, I remember you were telling my grandfather, Chaim Berim." He says, "You were named called Chaim Berim?" He said, "You know, he saved my life." "How did he save your life?" He said, "I was a young Yerushalayim like a bachur. I was 15 years old. I got married. I was a yosin. They read me a shidduch, which was not a shidduch, and it was not a nash. And I became the bad one, and they bad mouthed me over all of Yerushalayim, and I was thrown out of the house, and I was wandering, and I was contemplating suicide. And your Zayin Chaim met me. He didn't say to me, 'Be good, don't worry, what do you care?' He understood my feelings. He said one thing to me. He said, 'Your shlamel is ripped in shreds. It doesn't pass the cover shabbos. I want you to have a new shlamel for shabbos.' He said, 'Rebbe, I'm committing suicide. My life is over. I've got other problems now. I want you to have a new shlamel for shabbos.' And he took me to the shlamel nacher, and he said, 'New shlamel for shabbos.' Him, that Rosh of the Mizrah. I said, 'A new shlamel for shabbos.' He said, 'I'm not going to say, I'll pay for it. If I have to mortgage my house, I'll pay for it.' He said, 'I put on that new shlamel and I walked out and I said to myself, maybe I am a mensch. Maybe I am a human being. Maybe I shouldn't commit suicide.' He said, 'I want to tell you, I got over it. I remarried. I'm from the rich people in Yerushalayim, which is saying a lot. And he saved me. You don't know what it means when someone has a chavrusa at night. You don't know what it means shalom bayis wise. Besides, you're getting the husband out of the house. But in a deeper sense, the whole family changes to a different world. But Pong is always the other story from the Nesiv, where a man came and said, I've never heard of my house, don't look up to me. And the Nesiv said, be kovei yashir, be kovei night. And he came back to the Nesiv later, he cried his heart out, he said, you changed my life. And this didn't happen, because before Kaddish, after Kaddish, Kaddish, thank you, before he's learning, after he's learning. The whole world works around it. You're building homes. You're building lives. You're doing what you were here, down here in this world. I want to share one final story with you. Zayid told me a story that we need to say happened by him. He had a huge business, tremendous furniture store. And the nature of this business is that it comes Las Vegas time, you have a big show in Las Vegas, and you get your big contracts. And he mentioned to me, Rosh Hashiva, he said, say his name, Chaim Epstein, he said, he's going to Las Vegas, yeah, it's a shagger with, I don't know, with Mara or something. She says, yes, are you worried about Mara? He says, you want to go to Las Vegas? He said, no, you understand, he's going to, yeah, I don't hold you down, I want to go. Rebbe, my whole business is based on the show, right? I hold you down, I want to go. But Rebbe, again, my whole business doesn't change what I hold. He says, is Rebbe going to give me a bracha that all the money I would have made, I'll make anyway? He said, I'm not a Rebbe, I'm Rosh Hashiva. He said, I'll tell you what the halach is, what you want. He held up the phone. And he had a feeling this was a defining moment in his life. He told his partner, I'm not going. The partner thought he was out of his mind. They already invested in advertisements and everything else. He said, I'm not going. I'm willing to give everything up. I'm not going. I'm not worth a thing. They don't stand up to this serious message. Well, my son, he pulled out. He lost his deposits. He pulled out. And he threatened the entire existence of the business. He gets a call from a major news network the next morning. Next morning. They want to do a documentary on his business. About the economy, the cheap things, building things up. Fine. He said they came down, they did the coverage, they played. He said the publicity he got from that coverage, the contracts they got from that coverage far exceeded anything that could have happened in those things. And he went over to the woman that was in charge and worked for this major news network and said, where did you come to my business? She said, you know, I'm Jewish. She said, I'm not Orthodox, but I'm Jewish. But I remember my grandmother used to talk to me. She says to him, did you ever hear the word basheret? Yeah. She says, I'm driving in Vegas on the highway, and I go off the exit, and I took a wrong turn off the exit, and I passed this big billboard with your advertisement on it. He said, I get back onto the highway, and I accidentally go off the same exit, and again I pass this big billboard. And three times it happened. I said, God, sir, I'm telling you something. I opened the radio and I hear an advertisement for your business. He says he was going to run a bunch of ads. But when he was pulling out, he tried to cancel all the ads. They told him one already is too late to cancel. That was the one ad. It wasn't like a string of ads. And just then she got a call from her producer that they want to do a documentary on this kind of a company. Do you have any ideas? She says, I have a company. I was sure God gave me your company. He told me another story. He said he went to China and since this minute, I know I said it was my final story, but don't trust me. No, this is going to be my final story. He said he went to China. They said this place. He had a minute since then. He does a lot for Shmiras Anayim. He says he doesn't walk into a hotel unless they take a television out. Never cost for the right price. So he went for a company and his own company to do business, and they had to take television out and everything. And he had the way he was mastering the way it works. The was representative of the company that was taking the thing. Oh, you need your television out, right? Okay. He said, then he found out that a very big major chain is competing against him to take away this factory from him. He was sure he was finished. And the next day, when the people from the factory came to pick him up, they said, why are you taking me, not that big chain? I can't give you what they can give you. They said they went to ask the old Chinese agent what they should do. And he said, holy man, take television out, stick with him. That was his story from Confucius. I tell you, Rabbi Sai, if you want, you can open your eyes and you see the Rabbi Hashem all around you. And you see why you're here in this world. When you come to learn at night, whether you're learning or you're teaching, whether you're giving money or you're giving the chazak b'sinyan, you are bringing the Rabbi Hashem into this world. Okay? And the Rabbi Hashem bends you on.
As we end the program for the evening, we just want to express our hakaras hatoiv to the host of our night's end program, Kahal Shari Tfilo, the Balabatim, for hosting us these past 4 years, and the Rav, Rav Lomna Shlita. Thank you again for all of your support. Tisku the mitzvahs. Enjoy the rest of the evening.